Very glad to see all that have come and make you all very welcome. I'd like to commence the meeting, please, with the words of 166, hymn 166. God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. 'Twas for sinners Jesus died. Just remaining seated, please. 166.
God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. Was for sinners Jesus died. Oh, the glory of the grace shining in the Savior's face.
Shall we bow together in prayer? Our God and our Father, another time we bow in thy holy presence in that worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank thee afresh for him. Thank thee for thy Son, the Son of thy love. We do thank thee that God so loved him, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And thank thee indeed for that gift of gifts, all other gifts in one. Blessed be God our God. We do thank thee that here upon earth he was moving for thy glory and for thine honour with Calvary before him. And we thank thee that it was there upon that tree that he freely gave himself a sacrifice and was lifted there and nailed by hands and feet and there suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We're thankful again, our Father, for the glorious tidings of salvation, the message that tells of him, his sin-atoning death and sacrifice at Calvary, precious blood that has flowed. And Father, we thank thee for the greatness of thy love. Thank thee that it has allowed all Calvary to take place. And we thank thee the seal of thine approval is upon it, when thou dost raise him from amongst the dead ones and seated him at thine own right hand in glory. far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named. We do thank thee that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We're met again this evening, Father, with the message of the gospel before us, and we look to thee for grace and help for this hour of need. We thank thee for the dear souls that have listened in the past and some present with us tonight, and pray, our Father, that it might please thee to speak to every heart, and any that are listening online as well. We pray, our Father, that the Spirit of God would use the word, and that there might be work accomplished for thy glory, and souls rejoicing, having found the Saviour. We leave before thee the need of the hour that is before us, and ask for further help. Commend ourselves into thy good hand, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now, I'm very glad to see all that are at the meeting this evening, and give you a very warm welcome. Some visitors and some boys and girls from Sunday school here, we're glad to see you, and we'll also give a warm welcome to those that are online as well. And we trust that each will be blessed as they listen to the gospel this evening, and you boys and girls will sit up and listen carefully, and listen carefully to Stephen. Give a very warm welcome to our brother Stephen Redpath from the Blairy Assembly. He normally is preaching the gospel in the land of Venezuela, but he's here tonight and he's preaching the very same message. And we're glad to have him, and we trust that God gives him help as he opens the Word of God to us. Now, there's some announcements just to be made. Actually, Thursday, our brother Stephen here will be back with us on Thursday evening at 8 p.m. and to give us a report of the Lord's work in Venezuela. And we give you a very warm welcome again to that meeting. And then also on Friday night in this hall at 7:30 is a prize giving for the Postal Bible School. The speaker on that occasion will be Malcolm Beattie from the Bloomfield Assembly. And we give everybody a warm welcome to that as well. And then next Lord's Day, the breaking of bread at 11, Sunday school and Bible class at 3 p.m, the prayer meeting at 6:30, and the gospel at 7. And the speaker expected next Lord's Day is our brother David Neal from the Bloomfield Assembly. So we'll give you a warm welcome and invitation to return to these meetings, but we do announce them subject to the will of the Lord, for we don't know what a day will bring forth. And we trust that tonight, if you're not saved, that you'll come to put your trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation. And we just leave the meeting with our brother Stephen.
Take some readings, please, from the Acts of the Apostles. First of all, in chapter 8. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. And we read from verse number 5. Acts 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Verse 7, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Now further down, please, in the same chapter, and we'll notice this man, the Ethiopian, verse number 27, he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a lamb, as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And we notice at the end of verse 39 that he went on his way rejoicing. Now, chapter 9, please. Acts chapter 9. And I just want to read one verse there, verse number, this is Saul, verse at the end of 19. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. And then again in chapter 10, please, for the last reading, Acts chapter 10, and we'll read from verse 36. 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." And we notice that in verse 39, "And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." And that will be our reading from the Word of God with the Lord's richest blessing. I've read with you some of the references to preaching in these chapters 8, 9 and 10, and how that the gospel in an orderly way was reaching out to different types of people and different classes and different nationalities as well, and how that the gospel was reaching into on a chartered territory, as it were, and reaching new territories. And we would like to emphasize this evening that the gospel is a message that knows no boundaries. And it is a universal message, no geographical boundaries and no racial barriers at all. And in these three chapters, we have a city of the Samaritans in chapter 8. In chapter 9, we see a man from Africa, from Ethiopia, and he gets saved. And a man in chapter 9 further down, and he's in the city of Damascus, and he's reaching in and preaching the gospel in a Jewish synagogue to a different audience as well. And then again in chapter 10, we have read with you how a Roman centurion was also reached by the grace of God. So it is a universal message, a message that God has given, dear friends, for every creature. The Savior himself, who came on the occasion as he viewed his own resurrection and his own ascension back to the Father, as he looked upon those 12 disciples, he could give them that command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Dear friend, it is a message, a universal message for every creature. And whether in the case of Jews or half-Jews like the Samaritans, or even in the case of a Gentile, a Roman who had very little understanding of the way of salvation, we find that the gospel was the same message. That's what impressed me as I read these scriptures together. In these days, it was exactly the same message for each of these different types of people, different nationalities. They all heard the same message. And what was it? It was, dear friend, a message about Christ, a message about one who came from God's heaven, one who came into the world that his hands had made, and he gave, dear friend, all that he had when he went to Calvary's cross and there was uplifted between two malefactors, two criminals. And there, dear friend, upon that tree, he became answerable for the sins of a guilty world. What a message it is to tell. And the reason it is the same message for every one of us, no matter who we might be, boys or girls, or no matter man or woman, there's a message, dear friend, that is the same. It is Christ, his sin-atoning death at Calvary. All that he entered into there, dear friends, in 6 hours upon Calvary's tree, it was necessary because you and I are guilty sinners. And this is what these people were learning, especially that man. We have read quite a little bit about him, the Ethiopian eunuch, in chapter 8. And we have to understand, dear souls, that he knew nothing. Very, very little, perhaps, of it. The fact that He had a soul to be saved. And yet there was something in him that led him to seek the God of heaven. You know, dear friend, those dear people that don't have such privileges as you have of being in a meeting like this, did you know that there's a creation, dear friend, all around us? And that creation is there with a purpose, that it might speak to every heart, and the things of God and his eternal deity and Godhead, it can all be known because of the creation that he made. And I want to tell you, dear friend, this man discovered a great void in his heart, and there was something in him that led him to make a journey. He was on a quest. What was his quest? It was that he might know God. It was that he might find something that would satisfy and fill his heart's longings. He knew he had everything as far as this life was concerned. He was in a very good job, and he was doing well as far as this life was concerned. And maybe you're in the same boat. Maybe today, dear friend, you're in the same condition. Maybe longing to know God and longing to be right with God. I tell you, dear friend, there's a man here, and he was underprivileged, an African man, and he didn't know anything about the way of salvation, but he made the effort, and he showed interest, and he came to the city of Jerusalem, and there he found a copy of the Word of God, and there, dear friend, he began to do more. He began to read it. I wonder if you read the Scriptures. I wonder, dear friend, do you know anything about the way of salvation? Boys and girls that are with us tonight, I wonder, is there anything in your heart that would be interested to know God and to be right with God and to have your sins forgiven? Dear friend, the guidebook is before you, the Holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ. Well, this man, he was learning, he was reading, and as he read, he learned. In chapter 1, he would have read all about the awfulness of his human heart, and how that he was a rebellious sinner. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me, says God. And he would have learned something of his guilty condition before God. From the sole of the foot to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. He would have learned, I'm just a spiritual leper in God's sight. This is how God sees me. And you know, dear friend, those were hard lessons to learn. And I would like you, dear friend, this evening to be able tonight to understand that the very same lessons that this man was learning in a short period of time, just on that journey, maybe 1,500 kilometers or so, I think it is. And on that return journey, he was able to read and able to learn his need of salvation. But yet there was questions still in his mind. He wasn't clear about it. And he began, and he had reached now in chapter 53, who has believed our report? Here's a report that God had given him in his word. And then as he read in Isaiah 53, led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And you know, he would have learned that there was one who was wounded for his transgressions and bruised for his iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You know, dear souls, I want to say, this man would have had a lot of questions. Maybe you have questions in your mind tonight about all that took place at Calvary. This man, he wanted to know, who is he? He says in verse 34, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Yes, dear friend, it was some other man. It was the man Christ Jesus who gave himself a ransom for all. It was the one who loved us unto death. The one, dear friend, who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant. Found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, dear friend, think of that. The death of the cross. Think of what it took. Dear friend, what was involved for the salvation of one soul? The price that must be paid when the infinite justice of a holy God must be met, and when all of the punishment that was due to our sins would be laid upon him, and when, dear friend, in those 6 hours upon the tree, the blessed Savior uplifted upon that tree, dear friend, became answerable for our sins, and he was wounded for them, and he was bruised and put to shame, that you and I might be delivered from the wrath which is to come. Friend, the man got saved. How did he get saved? Well, the evangelist Philip, he drew near, and he was able to answer the man's questions, and he was able to tell him about a Savior that had come, a Savior that had come from heaven's glory and come right to where we are, took upon himself flesh and blood, went to the place which is called Calvary and laid down that life voluntarily. And there, dear friend, paid the price for our salvation. The man got what he was looking for. He found out his need of salvation. He found out that he was a sinner before God. He found out that there was another man, a man that he never knew before, a man that took his place and bare his sins in his own body on the tree. Now, as I read these scriptures today again and thought about the subject that these people heard about, you know, the subject was the same. In chapter 8, there was a man in the Samaritan city, actually, and the same evangelist, Philip, they heard the same message as well. I thought in the earlier verses of chapter 8, it was all to do about the power of God. What the background there in Samaria was, it was just in verse number 5 and 6, we learn that there was the influence of unclean spirits. We learn that the devil was active in that part of Samaria, and those that were possessed with demons and so on. The power of God, dear friend, was active as Philip preached the gospel. And we want to remind you, dear soul, that if in Acts 8 we have an African man, and it was Christ and his death that was so used in that man's salvation, I take it here in those earlier verses, in the city of Samaria, as this man, the same preacher, as he preached to a different class of people, people that were affected by the influence of the evil one and all of his power to deceive, and with all the tricks and all the magic and all that he would try to present to people today, I want to tell you, dear soul, we're presenting to you a Savior, and he has power. The power of the Savior, dear friend. This message is a powerful message. What is it? Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You know, dear friend, there was power that was involved there at Calvary. What was it, friend? But the mighty power of God, raising Christ from the dead, sealing his divine approval upon the preaching upon the person that died and upon the person that provided salvation. I tell you, friend, it was mighty power that raised him up from the dead and has given him glory. And he's seated today at God's right hand. And we today would like to present you a living Savior. Not only a Savior that died and a Savior that bare our sins in his own body on the tree. But again, dear friends, just think of where he sits. He is seated now at God's right hand in glory, a powerful Savior, one that is able to save to the uttermost all them that come unto God through him. But again, in chapter 9, we have another aspect of the person of Christ, I take it, that was preached. We've just read one verse there in Damascus in relation to the new convert, Saul. And Saul, as he had just been recently saved, he had an interest to take the gospel to those in the Jewish synagogue. And here we have a different group of people. If in the city of Samaria it was those people and they were witnessing the influence of the evil one and the power of the devil, dear friend, and there the gospel reached them. And then again, the Ethiopian eunuch, it was Christ and the blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ was presented by Philip. And I take it was his death that won the man's heart. It was this that gave the man an assurance that all was well, as he that day rejoiced, having found a Savior. This was the one that took his sins and his sorrows and made them his very own. And upon Calvary's tree, dear friend, there was one. And that man, he received salvation because of the sufferings and death that took place at Calvary. But here we find in the city of Damascus, Saul, and he preached Christ as well. In the synagogue, in the Jewish synagogue. And it was his deity that is presented there, because it is said that he is the Son of God. That is what was Let's say that's the inquiry that the Ethiopian eunuch had in his mind. Of whom speaketh the prophet this? Who is such an one that is able to be wounded for my transgressions? Who is he? Is it some other man? Yes, dear friend, he is the Son of God. And that is what makes the gospel of the message so precious to all of us tonight, to think that there was one, and who being in the form of God, he that was at God's right hand from eternity past, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Friend, upon this earth there was one, and he was here, and he was the Son of God from heaven. He was one who was on equality with God, who thought it not a thing to be grasped after, as if it were a prize. No, it was his from all eternity. He was the one equal with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the three on the same level. Dear friend, equal in all their essence. But I want to say, dear friend, this was the one who took upon himself flesh and blood, came to where we were, loved us to such an extent that he died for us at Calvary's tree, and moved here for the glory of his God. And finally, the path that our Savior has trod has led up to the Father and God. And where he sits tonight, dear friend, at the Father's right hand, glorified, a Savior, one that is able to save to the uttermost all them that come unto God through him. And then again, I want to think with you in chapter 10, not only about Christ and his deity, but in chapter 10, we have another group. This man is a Roman centurion, a man that had, a different background altogether. And again, had an interest in eternal matters, and had certain amount of light, spiritual light, and yet was lacking. He was lacking, and he wanted to know more, and he sent for Peter. And the preacher is different, the location is different, the nationality is different, but the message is the same. And what is it? Peter begins to preach, and Cornelius says, we're all here present in the presence of God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. And Peter opens his mouth and says, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, and neither he is, dear friend. God is a one message for every class and creed and every color. There's no barriers, there's no restrictions with the gospel message today. God is a God, dear friend, that loves every sinner. And he has sent his Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friend, the love of God today would reach your heart, no matter who you might be, no matter how far away you feel you are. Here's a man, and he's called Cornelius, a Gentile man, a man that perhaps had less privilege than you have, I'm not sure. But here he is, and he's listening, and he's interested to learn, and he has a disposition to receive the word and to appreciate all that Peter is saying. And what is it, friend? Peter begins and preaches unto him Christ. He says, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. And he here picks out something that is very, very important as well. And it's not now his deity, but it is his lordship. He says, he is Lord of all. And you can just pick up on these little things, dear friend. Chapter 8, it's the power of God seen in the person of Christ and all that he's able to do and all that was presented to the Samaritan's friend. I'm not sure what your extent is tonight and where you're finding yourself tonight. You know where you stand. And I would like, dear friend, that whether you're just like those Samaritans in chapter 8, or whether you're like the African man at the end of the chapter 8, or these in the synagogue, greatly privileged at being in an environment to where the gospel and where the preaching is common, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, just as you're found here seated. Well, they were seated on that occasion, and they heard as well. But here we find another case. A case, Cornelius. And he's a man, and he's willing to learn. Would you be willing to learn your need tonight? Would you be willing, boys and girls, to understand that just like these people, you as well, your heart is no different. And God has placed us all upon the same platform. Romans chapter 3, there's a question asked. I often quote it. What then? Are we better than they? The context maybe is to do with, are we Jews better than the Gentiles? They thought they were a little bit better. But he says, no, in no wise. In no wise. That is to say, God has placed us all upon the same common platform. And he, in those verses from verses 10 to 18 of Romans chapter 3, there you'll find clearly how God views us. And the case is summed up in 14 different charges against the human race. Every one of us, dear friend, we cannot hide from it. We have to understand it, that the case is solid. The evidence is clear. And we're not able to present anything in our defense before the God of heaven. No, what is it, friend? But verse 19 tells us that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Why? For there is no difference. No difference whatsoever. All of us, dear friends, tonight, we're all born sinners. And we've all practiced sin. And we have before us a great never-ending eternity, dear friend, to spend. It will never be spent. But I want to say, dear friend, we will enter it. And I would ask you, friend, where are you bound for? There's only two places where people may dwell. There's one called heaven. There's another called hell. I ask you, dear soul, where are you bound for tonight? You can find your way to the Savior, to his very feet tonight, and receive him like the Ethiopian eunuch and like this man. This man was presented a word of peace to a troubled soul. Here he is, and he's discovering his lost condition, and he's finding out all that God has done. God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power and with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good. There was none like Christ, dear friend, ever upon the face of this planet. Here he did good constantly, and here he pleased constantly his God, as God opened the heavens and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Friend, there was none like Christ, and here he find that God anointed him with power. And he says, God was with him. And then he says that, whom they slew and hanged upon a tree. That's what the human race has done with the Savior of sinners. Little did they understand that it was a plan of God, dear friend, that this one who was rejected and despised by men, all of us, dear friend, our human hearts are no different. I want to say, dear friend, that God has punished him at Calvary. Men didn't understand what they were doing. He said, the Lord himself knew that. They know not what they do. Man was blind at the cross. They didn't understand that they were crucifying the Lord of glory. He is Lord of all, says Peter. He's the one, dear friend, that left his throne above and came to the lower parts of the earth and humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Dear friends, this evening salvation is found in a Savior who died at Calvary. The very peace of God, dear friend, that you need tonight and that I needed as well. We can find it because of one who was punished. The punishment needed to bring us peace was upon him, says Isaiah 53. Ah, dear friends, there at Calvary. Even though men, in all their wickedness, they did all that their heart's desire wanted to do. But friend, Jehovah, the Lord, laid upon him the iniquity of us all. A great provision was made at Calvary. Peace can be had, dear friend. Why? Because God has made peace by the blood of his cross. At Calvary, precious blood has flowed that cleanses us from all sin. And you tonight, dear friend, you can come as a sinner, just like the Ethiopian eunuch, just like the Saul and these men that we're reading about, and Cornelius. All of these men, they learned their need, and they appreciated Christ. Christ was presented to them. Christ in all the glory of his person, in all his ability to save, in all of his the perfections of the work that he accomplished at Calvary. Dear friend, because of this, we're able to tell you what Peter pronounced to Cornelius. Verse number 43. To him give all the prophets witness, including the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah 53, the prophets, they gave witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Shall receive remission of sins. That word remission, it has to do with the removal of sin. And tonight, dear friend, our sins can be taken away. The great load of sin that we have, dear friend, it can all be removed because of the work of Calvary, because of a Savior that died upon the tree and shed that precious blood. Listen to it. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, it cleanseth us from all sin. Would there be one that would be simple enough tonight to just to creep beside him as a worm and to see him die for me, to see one take our place and bear our sins in his own body on the tree? Friend, no matter what your background is tonight, we have a message for you. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. He is the one that is seated in glory and majesty tonight. He is the one that is able to break the power that binds you, dear friend. Whatever it might be, whatever the vices of this world has you held, dear friend, I want to tell you that there's one who can break every chain and his power to save your soul and deliver you, who through fear of death all your lifetime was subject to bondage. You could be delivered from the bondage of your sin, dear friend, and set free tonight to live for him and for his glory. The man of Gadara, Mark chapter 5 is an example of all that the power of Christ was able to do. You can look in those chapters, Mark 4 and 5. The Lord was showing forth his power in various realms. Power over disease, power over the storm, power over death. But you know what I liked was Mark chapter 2. That you might know. There's another case there. I'll not go into it in detail, but do you know what it says? He says, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He's able to save souls, dear friend. He's able to forgive sins. He has power tonight to save, no matter who you might be, no matter what you might have done. I want to tell you, friend, we present to you Christ in all of his spotlessness, in all of his glory, in all of his perfection, a living Savior that tonight sits in glory, in majesty, crowned with glory and with honor, having tasted death for every man. We leave him before you, dear friend. We trust that you tonight would understand your need. Come to him. Believe on Christ to the saving of your soul. It's by faith in Christ that souls are saved. By repenting of your sins, turning away from your sin, dear friend, receiving Christ as your very own and personal Savior. You can come to know him, friend, by faith, accepting him as your own and personal Savior, and you will be blessed for all eternity. I leave it there, and we'll commend ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Shall we pray? Our Father, we continue to speak to thee with our thanksgivings again for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for such a Savior to present in the gospel. We do thank thee that upon Calvary's tree he was there, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripe we are healed. Thank thee, Father, for the plan of salvation. Thank thee for a few souls that have gathered in this evening to listen to thy word. Pray for every young person tonight and any that are listening online. We pray, our Father, the Spirit of God will use the word, and that there might be some that would hear thy voice and enter the open door. We commend to thee the activities of this another week we have entered upon, and look to thee for help in all that is before. Give thee thanks for thy Son afresh and for the gospel in his own worthy name. Amen. We'll maybe take time to sing a verse of a hymn just to conclude. 149, please. 149. The first says, come, let us reason, saith the Lord. Your sins of scarlet dye shall be like wool or white as snow when you on Christ rely. Well, just sing verse number 4, please. Verse number 4 will be sufficient. Come as thou art with all thy sins. Come with thy hardened heart. Come with thy cares, thy doubts, thy fears. All grace he will impart. 149, verse number 4, we can stand to sing.
Come as thou art with all thy sins. With thy hardened heart. Sick.